Reverend Nancy, as I said before, it is an honor to have you here. Evan is very excited. So I know that not all of us understand the way that the church structure works. So I just want to stress to you that having Reverend Elder Dr. Nancy Wilson here is a big deal. It's a big deal for me personally because it is an honor to have one of my heroes here and to be able to introduce her. It's an honor for all of us because she is the person who leads our denomination. You might have seen her in the news, might have seen her in the White House. She is a force to be reckoned with and also one of the most compassionate, loving, caring people that I know. So, Nancy, my friend, my mentor, my colleague, thank you for being here. Let's give her a round of applause.
Thank you. Good morning. Bless you, MCC Tampa. Thanks for this wonderful, warm welcome on a holiday weekend. Thank you, Reverend Jacob, for that lovely introduction. It's a privilege to be with you. I want also to welcome my mother, Barbara. Will you stand so people can see? Or wave, just gonna wave. I'm very fortunate my mother lives near me, and she's very willing to accompany me and come and hear me preach and be an amen corner for me, so I'm very happy for that. And also, our communications director for MCC is here today, Linda Brenner-Beckstead. Welcome, Linda. Linda's going to be videoing the sermon today so that we can post it, so you'll be seen all over the world for this sermon on climate care, and so I thank you for welcoming me so we could do this, and I thought maybe it would be good to welcome you while you're in transition. I could be a pastor du jour today, and also be able to have a wonderful congregation in which to share this message. I want to thank you for your faithful support for MCC in your assessments, in the ways in which you volunteer, and you host events for MCC in so many ways. And I know that already this year you've fed 6,000 people in your food pantry. Amen. It's amazing what you do. What you do just to be that witness for MCC where you are. Anniversary Sunday is coming up for MCC. October 6th will be our 47th anniversary of Metropolitan Community Churches. And there are resources online for how you can celebrate Anniversary Sunday. We're really focusing on new church starts. And we have three new churches in Cuba that have just been affiliated. Amen. We have a new affiliated church in Mississippi, in Salt Lake City, Utah, in many other places in the United States, in Virginia, other places. We are starting new congregations. Our elder, Reverend Elder Tony Freeman, is in Africa ordaining the pastor of our Cape Town church and meeting with people starting new churches there. And Reverend Elder Darlene, this Tuesday, will go to the Philippines, affiliate another new church in the Philippines and ordain a new pastor there. So MCC is on the move in many places in the world. Amen. So thank you for helping us do that all over the world, including in the U.S. Thank you to those of you who are members of the Moderator Circle. If you don't know what that is, just ask me afterwards and I'll tell you. There are several members here in your congregation. You've already talked about your network gathering. I'll be thrilled to be there. And General Conference next year in Victoria, British Columbia, July 4th through 8th. Don't miss it. It's going to be a wonderful, amazing event with brothers and sisters from all over the world, probably about 1,300 of us or more gathered in a wonderful celebration of MCC. So now, will you pray with me? God, I want to pray for MCC Tampa today. God, I ask that they not grow weary in well-doing, but that they will take heart, that they will be blessed as they embark on a new era in their life together. Thank you for the faithful laity, the volunteer staff, and all who have worked so hard, God, to fill the gap, to be here in a time of transition. God, transitions are not easy, but I thank you for the faithfulness of the members and volunteers and everyone here. God, I ask that you would bless this church, that you would continue to help them, feeding people spiritually and physically, welcoming so many who are searching for you. Thank you, God, for this great opportunity, for this wonderful church. In Jesus' name, amen. In a few weeks, Pope Francis will visit the United States, and his first stop will be at the White House to meet President and Mrs. Obama. And I've been privileged to, I'll be there at that event at the White House. And why is this important? And why will I be there? It's because the Pope will have something powerful to say about many things, but especially about climate change to the United States. And why is Pope Francis so popular? Sometimes I think he's more popular among non-Catholics than Catholics, but that's another story. I think it's because he appears to care deeply about what people, especially young people in our world, care about. The state of the climate, of our air and water and land, about poverty and about justice. He says surprising things like, "Who am I to judge?" He seems to have an authentic openness. And now, of course, I don't agree with everything the Pope says or believes. That would not be possible, not right now anyway. But in a time when people are very suspicious of religion, he represents that hunger for God and spirituality that I believe all people have. People want hope, and they want leaders who are talking about the things that matter. This week, we've been seeing every day on the news about the biggest refugee problem since World War II in our world. And just as there are an enormous hundreds of thousands, millions of people have been displaced in the Middle East and Syria and other places, it's also true in the Congo and other places in the world. And there are two primary causes of that refugee problem. One is war, continuing violence and war, and the other is climate change. I have a friend in Fiji who is a transgender activist in Fiji, and she tells me that the island of Fiji is overwhelmed these days by refugees from neighboring islands that are now submerged in the Pacific. People are losing their homes on coastlines and in islands all over the world. And it seems like the world has been very slow to pay attention. So I want to talk about why we, as MCC especially, should care about climate change. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, did I care about climate change? Of course I would have said yes. Being a progressive person, I'm sure it's an urgent issue. But I was also convinced that somewhere, some very smart people were figuring all of this out, and that they'd come up with the solutions. Of course, our governments and people would cooperate, and I would not have to worry about this. Well, of course, that's a delusion, and I was in denial. And the truth is, although very smart people have figured this out, and I believe with the Pope that the science is settled on this issue, the will to confront this issue is our biggest challenge in the world today, along with the wars that displace people. Amen. So I'm going to come up with three reasons we should care today. I think there are a lot more than three, but I'm going to start with three. First of all, we in Metropolitan Community Church came into existence nearly 47 years ago because God's unconditional love told us that our lives mattered, that couples in Kentucky ought to be able to get a marriage license in the place they pay their taxes, and that trans people, especially trans people of color, deserve to live free of threats of murder and violence. They deserve to have jobs and dignity. And we came into existence because we were convinced of a truth, that sexuality and spirituality have the same source in a good Creator God, and that the truth sets us free. And it's not only spiritual truth, but all truth is connected. All truth is connected. You know, the truth today, 50 years nearly after MCC started, is that we have to confront that human activity, the consumption of fossil fuels, environmental pollution and degradation, is causing climate change, is warming our planet, and will affect all of life. The truth is, human beings are the most invasive species in the history of life itself. We, you know, the pythons have nothing on us in the Everglades. You know, they've invaded the Everglades, are a menace, but we're way more dangerous than pythons in the world. And, you know, the planet will survive. Life will probably survive, but I'm not always sure we will survive if we don't face the truth with courage today. You know, the first sermon I ever preached, I was 13 years old. It was not in church. It was in my speech class in seventh grade. We had to give a speech. My first speech ever was the title. You'll have to think of this through a lens of, you know, way more than 55 years, about 55 years almost. My speech was called "The Bible and the Science Book, Do They Conflict?" Question mark. And I was out to prove that things like the theory of evolution were not against faith, but that faith would tell us who was the creator of the universe, and science told us how, and that these things were not in conflict. Now, no one in my seventh grade class cared a bit about any of this, although my teacher asked me, was I going to grow up to be an evangelist, which I was very confused. I did not really understand what she was saying. But I was so passionate about the fact that I believed that science and faith had to work together to help us understand truth. And then I got into a church, MCC, founded by a fundamentalist, a Pentecostal, who had to confront the war on science that was part of his background culturally. Many of you are from those backgrounds. And I so value Troy's willingness to open his heart and mind and spirit, excuse me, and to understand that the best friend of our civil rights and liberation movements is science. As we understand more fully the amazing wonder of human life, including human sexuality. And as we confront the truth that it is not okay to put profits of a very few above public safety of our air and water and land and all of life. I love the outdoors from the time I was a child, and 15 years ago I became a bird watcher. Birds are amazing. They are resilient and they adapt. But their habitats are disappearing in dangerous ways. Human short-sightedness and greed have played havoc with birds. Climate change has played havoc. I was excited to go to my first big climate change conference and meet the president of the Audubon Society. You know, that was a big thrill for me. And to understand climate change through the lens of what happens to birds, I can understand and see their impact. The truth is that all things are interdependent and interconnected. That is the nature of creation that our God created. And that when one of us is endangered, all of us are endangered. If we care about that truth, if we care about life that matters so much, we must care about creation. Secondly, MCC in our DNA is a justice movement. We are a prophetic voice. We follow a Jesus who loved the outcast, who risked himself for those who were marginalized and left behind. And he used birds and lilies as examples in his parables. He loved creation, whether it was the hills of Galilee or the deserts or the beautiful lake. He used the concept of abundant life to talk about what it meant to be connected to God. Abundant life. MCC, we have 47 years of experience in fighting causes that looked hopeless. Sometimes it's hard to believe that I can do anything about climate change. Sometimes it seems so overwhelming and so big that what we do doesn't matter. But as MCC, we ought to know deep in our bones that if you fight for a hopeless cause, it's amazing what you can do. We've learned that about marriage equality. None of us thought 47 years ago, none of us thought that marriage equality would be possible. I know I didn't. Even Troy Perry, who found MCC and who did the first public weddings and who told us to go every Valentine's Day to the clerk of the court and ask for marriage license, and they always turned us down, decade after decade. Even he, I think, was surprised at how quickly in these last 10 years marriage equality caught on like a wildfire. 30 years ago, HIV/AIDS looked like a kind of a Holocaust that we might never recover from. It looked like we might never be able to deal with this problem. And we had a slogan that said, silence equals death. We learned that persevering through controversy, persevering with unpopular cause, really can change the world. You know, sometimes I think that the climate change movement needs us more than it really knows, because we have resilience. We know what it's like to be on the losing end of public opinion polls and what it means to change lives and history. I also believe that as citizens of the world, you know, sometimes we have to, in MCC, realize we cannot be ghettoized into just fighting for a few causes. All of God's creation is our concern. And part of our own healing is to believe that we have something to give the world. We have a point of view, an experience of the redemptive love of God. We have an experience of championing the downcast and the outcast and the marginalized and winning that people in the climate change world need. They need to know that there are people like us who are willing to fight with all our passion for the planet, for people we love and care about, for our future. Last but not least, we have to care, because as people of faith, as MCC, we know that action is the name of the game. We can talk or preach, but ultimately it comes down to action. And that action has to happen at two levels. One is the micro level, the individual congregational level, and one is on the big stage in the world. We learned this during the HIV/AIDS biggest crisis in this country and other places. Our churches, our pastors, our lay leaders, in those very troubling days, before there were any medications, we had to take care of people who were dying, sometimes in their homes or in the hospital. We had to be the ones who visited when no one else would. We had to be the ones to bury people, to talk to families, to be there for one another. We had to be there unequivocally with all our heart and mind and soul. We were constantly active doing that. But at the very same time, we had to look at the big picture too. We had to say that our governments had a responsibility, that our leaders had responsibility, that there were policies and things that needed to change in this country and around the world. And so we did things, and we got arrested, some of us, and we protested, and we, you know, harassed our legislators and our elected officials until the policies changed, until the practices changed, until the medications were released. We did both those things at the same time. And that's true here. You know, recycling is not going to solve this problem, but we have to keep recycling. You know, cutting our carbon footprints as individuals, as a church, that won't save the day entirely, but we have to do it. And we also have to do the bigger things. We have to have a mass movement. We have to have collective action. We have to look at what California's had to deal with this past year. What's amazing about California is the depth of the problem, of the drought they are facing, and also that they actually organized some response to it. They said they were going to cut their water usage by 25%, and they did 27%. That's because there was leadership in their state. That's because there was leadership in groups and people who made that happen. It's not going to happen without us. It's not going to happen in Florida without us. Yeah, we need leadership in our state. There are things happening in our state every day that we as citizens, we need to pay attention to in our neighborhoods. Environmental justice and the good use of resources in our amazing state. There's a United Nations meeting in Paris later this year in December, and lots of people are working toward that meeting to really see a change. And what an amazing thing that faith can help lead the way, that the Pope of the Catholic Church, you know, is going to speak to the United States Congress. And there's going to be some awfully uncomfortable Catholics in the U.S. Congress who are going to be listening to a pope say some things I think they don't necessarily want to hear. But it's time, because the people of this country want to see good climate policy. We want to, and we have to learn together how to change everything we do. This problem of climate change affects everything in our lives. Our food, our water, our transportation, our housing, everything about life is impacted by this crisis that we're going through. Refugees, everything is impacted by climate change. And I think it's important for us as MCC to remember that we are really good in a crisis. And there is a crisis. And I think it's so important for us to understand and commit to decisive action together. You know, we're still nimble enough, MCC, we're still able enough that we can respond to this powerful moment in our local communities. And one of the most important things MCC churches can do is find your partners in your local community. There are people in every community in which there's an MCC, everywhere around the world, everywhere we are, there are climate friends, people who have been working on this issue for years but need our passion, they need our expertise, they need to know how we did it about other things, and to help them do it in every community. And the reason we need to do that is because it is God's world. And we are co-creators with God and stewards of this amazing world that God so loved, Jesus said. Yesterday, I visited a place east of here called Highland Hammock. I don't know if any of you have ever been to it. It's a state park. I had no idea this place even existed. It is full of cypress swamps and fern gullies, the most gorgeous, beautiful land. There's a 1,000-year-old tree. I didn't know Florida had 1,000-year-old trees, you know. I didn't even know that about Florida. But there's such unbelievable beauty in that place that you can't help but feel reverent when you are there. There's a mystical sense being in those swamps. Every shade of green you've ever imagined in your life. And it rained a little bit yesterday on it, and it was just dripping with glory and beauty and power. And I thought, this is what hangs in the balance. And as we need anything else in our lives, we need the treasure of creation and what it offers us and our children and grandchildren. So we need to care. We need to care because we are creatures of a good God, because we are loved, because we are committed to justice, and because we know that being committed means we have to act. So I thank you and bless you. I know that MCC, we're going to raise our voices. You know, this in 2 weeks, when the Pope is speaking to Congress, there'll be 2,000 people of faith gathered at the National Cathedral, and we'll be watching it together on television, and we'll be praying together that change can come in our world. And we are praying for the ways in which we can build together a movement that says yes to God and yes to God's creation. Let us pray. God, we love you and bless you. We give you thanks for the wonderful treasure we have. And we ask, God, that you would motivate us in the deepest places, that you would push us out of our denial, and that you would help us to see that a part of every church's commitment has to be a voice for your creation. Thank you for the privilege, God, of being in this day and time. We ask that you would bless the events in the next several weeks and that you would use us in a mighty way. In your many names we pray. Amen.